Almighty God, to his most dear Son, when not after joy, but mercies after pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Psalm 31, being read responsively by half verse. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble.
My eyes are consumed with sorrow, and also my throat is my belly.
For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing.
My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed.
I have become a reproach to all my enemies and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance.
When they see me in misery, they avoid me.
I am forgotten, like a dead man, out of mind.
And like a useless as a broken up on top.
For I have heard the whisperings of the crowd. Fear is all around.
They look at their heads and their heads against me. But they are not to take my life.
But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord.
As I said, you are my God.
My times are in your hand.
Rescue me from the hand of my enemies, and from those who oppress me.
Make your face to shine upon your servant,
and in your loving kindness save me.
Glory to the Father, and A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We began with the hallelujahs and with the phrase, Hosanna in the highest, glory to God, and now we are at the foot of the cross. I mean, it's really a very dramatic shift. And crowds are fickle. You may have experienced that before, that a crowd that comes together for one reason, suddenly something shifts, and you don't know quite what it is, but you're caught up in it. Years ago, when I was a student, student at, and I'll mention it, University of Florida. There you go. The school was in a very strange thing. It was called a trimester. And we were trying to cram in a whole bunch of stuff. And the particular weekend was, we were playing the University of Alabama in football. And we were decidedly the underdogs, which is probably still true today. And the remarkable thing was, and we were all tuned to the radio because it was in Tuscaloosa. I'm thinking back of Oviedo days. And we won. We won the game. And so students poured out of wherever they were onto the street, and they went to the main intersection, University and 13, and held up traffic. Well, of course, there wasn't any traffic at that point because we were it. And somebody decided that we needed to build a bonfire in the middle of the street. And before we knew it, the fire department arrived. Students pulled the hose off of the fire truck, threw it onto the fire, and then they overturned a police car. And all of a sudden you realized you were in a riot. You didn't intend to do that, but it was ugly at that point. And you almost, when you read the account, you thought, gosh, was I there? Was I participating in that? I didn't intend to. Now, if you can understand that kind of shift, that's indeed what's happening in the action of today. Beginning with, oh boy, isn't this fun? We're hailing the king, knowing, interestingly enough, that on the other side of town, there is another parade. And it was the Roman soldiers coming in for the festival, and particularly to keep order. Interestingly enough. And the contrast is one of those remarkable things. The image of the might of Rome and the parade of a savior on a donkey. And I want you to really appreciate the contrast because it's played out in every age. Certainly played out today. So I want you to not only listen to the narrative that we're going to read, but I want you to be involved in it. I want you to know that there is a response to the ancient Negro spiritual. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Well, in some way we were. And we're going to recreate that as best we can this morning. And not only were we there, but we are there. Because these acts are not just random acts of a person coming into town on a donkey, but they are the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ. To know his passion, to know his suffering, and to know his death, so that we can prepare ourselves for what follows. I really do believe that if you don't experience the bitterness of Good Friday, maybe even the comradeship of Maundy Thursday, that you can't understand Easter at all. And so we want to not only understand it in our heads as an intellectual proposition, but we want to understand it in our hearts and then in our lives as we live that out. So find your program, and I can tell you that you have to kind of play with it a little bit. I've worn mine pretty good at the stable so that you can switch pages. So just be aware of that, and then sit for this first part of the reading, There's a point during the reading where you're asked to keep silence, and you'll be asked to stand as well. And it's all marked in the program. And then at the very end, we'll observe just a moment or two of silence. I don't really preach on Palm Sunday. Well, maybe you say you already did. But that's all you get, because I want the reading to end, and then think about it. And then we'll proceed with the prayers of the people momentarily. But I want us to really enter into the joy, to the solemnity of this reading.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup. And after giving thanks, he said,
take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.
Then they began to ask one another, which one of them it could be who would do this? A dispute also rose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. Or who is greater, the one who is at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, listen, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And he said to him,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied 3 times.
He said to them,
no, not a thing.
When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandal, did you lack anything?
They said,
no, not a thing.
He said to them,
but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag, and the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was coming among the lawless, and indeed what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said,
Lord, look, here are 2 swords.
He replied,
it is enough.
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked,
Lord, should we strike with the sword?
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
No more of this.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
This man also was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else on seeing him said,
You are also one of them.
But Peter said,
Man, I am not.
Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
Man, I do not know what you're talking about.
At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
Prophecy, who is it struck you?
They kept heaping many other insults on him. When they came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they all brought him to their council. They said,
If you are the Messiah, tell us.
He replied,
If I tell you, you will not believe. If I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
All of them asked,
Are you then the Son of God?
He said to them,
You say that, amen.
Then they all said,
What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, all saying,
We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is a Messiah, a king.
Then Pilate asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
He answered,
You say so.
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
I find no basis for an accusation against this man.
But they were insistent and said,
He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began even to this place.
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. But he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as the one who was converting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither is Herod, for he has sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
Then they all shouted together,
"Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!"
This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
A third time he said to them,
"Why, what evil has he done? I have found him in no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him."
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"God is at Jerusalem. Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, for the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
"He saves others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one."
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying,
"If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself."
There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him, saying,
"Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
But the other rebuked him, saying,
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied,
"Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
Certainly, this man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for the congregations of All Saints Church in Winter Park and St. Richard's Episcopal Church in Winter Park. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may truly honor one another and serve the common good. We pray especially for Joseph, our president, and Ronald, our governor, and all others in authority. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to the honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Bless those who have birthdays this week, especially Hank, John, Kathy, Virginia, Mark, Sarah, and Hal. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation.
Father, we lift up Sue, George, Harry, Nancy, Janine, Kat, Audrey, David, Alice, Sunny, Chuck, Judy, Jackie, Justin, Janet, Hank, Richard, Elaine, Elizabeth, Joe, Diana, Tina, Jane, and the family of Jimmy Harrell. Are there others?
We pray for the family of Sid, who died on 44 last Sunday.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commit to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all our saints in your eternal kingdom.
We pray especially for the repose of the souls of Jimmy Harrell and Sid.
We pray for the people of Ukraine.
Lord, in your mercy,
we continue with the prayer for transition. O faithful God,
we ask you to guide us in our time of transition. We need your wisdom that we might do such a change from birth to birth. We need your grace to redirect our hearts so we can be willing to offer ourselves in joyful service. Do not allow fear, ignorance, or pride to limit the work of your Spirit. Amen.
So, Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain effectually in our lives, and all to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
So, dear friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. There are people who come along and remind me it isn't so. And I never say thank you, but I deeply then reflect on that and do appreciate that. Because remember, no matter how important you think you are, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So it's just to remember who's God and who's the creature. And so hang on to those poems, and we will offer those next Ash Wednesday. I'll just call your attention to the schedule of services that's in your program, and I hope that you'll take that along with you. And if you haven't received a copy, you will. Let's see, it's in here somewhere. Yeah, it's on the back of the front page, the cover. And so it's, you know, it really is important that we experience this Holy Week so that when we come on Easter, we have a feeling what that's all about. So anyhow, it's not just head knowledge, it's also in experiencing that. So on Easter, we come together Saturday evening, there's an egg hunt,
and short service, primarily aimed at kids, but if you're in that group mentally and want to come, you're welcome. And then on Easter Day, we start at 6:30 a.m. and we start with what's called the Great Vigil of Easter. If you've never experienced that, you're in for a treat as we light the new fire of the season that burns through Pentecost and spread that light and then celebrate the first Eucharist of the day as the day is dawning. So if that's a little early for you, 8:30, okay. 10:30, yeah, that's great too. So I probably wouldn't recommend you necessarily attend all three. But I mean, if I've got to be here, well, you know, no. Really pick and find what's meaningful for you and really be a part of this Easter community, because that's where we are. So, birthdays. Does anybody want to claim a birthday today? You do, or your prodigy there?
Today's my birthday.
Today is it.
Happy birthday. Well,
congratulations. Whose birthday is it? I can ask you, right?
41.
How many of you remember 41? Congratulations. So watch over this, your servant, O Lord, as his days increase. Bless and guide him wherever he may be. Strengthen him when he stands. Comfort him if discouraged or sorrowful. Raise him up if he falls. And in his heart may your peace which passes understanding abide all the days of his life. Amen. Congratulations. 41. That's pretty good. Anybody else? How about wedding anniversaries?
Yay!
We got some wedding anniversaries? Judy and you. So you actually do belong to each other. Good. You? Congratulations. That's wonderful. So why don't you stand up too? So Lord, we thank you for the gift of marriage. And we thank you that you have called these your servants to live together. And we pray that their homes may be havens of blessing and of peace. And your richest blessing abound. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congratulations. All right. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. things come of thee, O Lord,
and of thy love have we given thee.
Eucharistic Prayer A. Eucharistic Prayer A from page 361. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks for grace.
It is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For our sins he was lifted high on the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. And by his suffering and death, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Amen.